two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The final horn has sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott, and the coach, Tim Lacombe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz fall tonight, the Sixers 105-98 in it up until the end, but Joel Embiid proves to be too much. What a performance. 59 points on 19 of 28 shooting. He had 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 7 block shots. He was 20 of 24 from the line. And, you know, there's just those performances that you remember against Jazz basketball. Locke listed off a bunch of them, and this is going to go right down as one of those performances. Man, is he good.
That's what it felt like watching it. It felt like you're watching one of those historic performances. He had it going. I mean, seven for nine from long mid-range, and they didn't hit the rim. It was dead-eye. So you definitely have to really appreciate the level of talent, his size, his ability to move around, do all the things to impact the game. I thought he had a little extra juice tonight. It was nice to see. You know, I question his, long-term ability to win big. But if he plays like that, he was really engaged. 7 blocks? I mean, yeah, what didn't he do?
Well, the Jazz are fortunate, and probably the whole league is fortunate, that he is one of a kind, because the Jazz do not match up well against Joel Embiid. We certainly confirmed that tonight.
Yeah, there's no question. And you said it in the pregame talking with Mike, just a monster of a man, but gosh, he was the monster tonight. Everything the Jazz did, they did so many things well, but he just kind of had the answer.
Malik Beasley led the Jazz in scoring tonight with 18 points, 6 of 13, 4 of 10. He did that in 29 minutes coming off the bench. Lauri Markkanen with 15, Olynyk with 14, Jordan Clarkson with 12. Should add Colin Sexton in 25 minutes off the bench. He had 15 as well. But we talked about it with Locke. Offensively, the wheels came off there in the second half.
They definitely did. You know, a couple of things I noticed outside of the historic performance by Embiid was the Jazz really struggled again to get the ball stopped in transition. Oftentimes, or several times, you know, guys go down the floor. Coach Hardy's talked about it. I'm sure he'll mention that tonight and get something easy. The Jazz fought like crazy on the glass. They actually won the rebounding battle 50-39, but it was because obviously a lot of balls going through the basket there in the second half for Embiid. But one thing I think it'd be interesting to see if he talks about is spacing. I didn't think their spacing was great tonight.
All right, with that, we will say goodnight to our network stations. Our next broadcast is coming your way on Tuesday night. The New York Knicks will be in town. That game will tip off at 7 o'clock. For those of you sticking around with us, we'll have sound from Coach Hardy, sound from the players, as well as the Jazz fall tonight in Philly, 105-98. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Running hook, blocked it.
The final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my!
Jazz postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. Jazz fall tonight in Philly to the Sixers, 105-98. A historic performance from Joel Embiid, 59 points. 19 of 28 shooting. What an efficient 59 points. 20 of 24 from the line. 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 7 blocks. What a performance from Embiid, who lifted his team to the victory. The Jazz fought hard, but the, man, they played so many games, Coach, in such a little amount of time. This road trip, they played so many road games, and it just felt like the energy was lacking.
I just felt like it kind of caught up with them a little bit, too. What's most impressive is they took this haymaker from Embiid and literally are, you know, a couple of possessions, free throws from being right there to win this game. So I think the positives are certainly there tonight, but it was a historic performance. There's been a ton of games, you know, since the Jazz have come here to be able to say, oh, second only to Kobe. You know, that was what it felt like watching it. Had to have been awfully frustrating, and I credit Will Hardy. He mixed up looks. You know, he kept running guys at him in the high post and did all sorts of things.
Jazz only shot 39% from the field tonight, 37 of 94, 11 of 37 for three at 29%. But to your point, just they missed a lot of easy ones in the fourth quarter that could have made this game. I mean, it was a competitive game, but more so. I wouldn't say it would have sealed the deal for the Jazz per se, but it seemed like there was a lot of baskets at the rim, a lot of opportunities. Not to pick on Jordan Clarkson, but he missed a couple that he makes all the time. Locke talked about how they struggled with the floater, which is not something you see all the time either. So, you know, missed some opportunities to win this game despite the big-time performance from Joel Embiid.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it'll be interesting because one thing that Coach Hardy said oftentimes, you know, as long as you do kind of what the game tells you to do, and I feel like this team has done that in spades. I mean, we've seen that over and over and over again. Tonight, Jordan Clarkson, they kind of that change of possession quick. Sexton's got it. Chooses to attack Embiid instead of just kicking that ball to the corner. I'm sure that's something he'll talk about. If Clarkson hits that, it ties the game, right? But those types of things, those are things you can coach and work on. That, the turnovers, some of the things that the Jazz got turned around on. But overall, I love the effort. And a lot of guys came in and gave the Jazz a huge lift.
They did, and I don't think effort is going to be a problem at all with this version of
not
the Jazz. Effort was certainly not the problem tonight. I mean, we saw guys diving after loose balls. You saw Mike Conley dive after one. You know, Mike, the ultimate vet on this team, getting after it, making sure they get an extra bite at the apple, extra possession. They got some stops in the fourth quarter, actually, there with under 90 seconds to go. Got a couple of stops in a row and just couldn't capitalize. I mean, They did everything they could to put themselves in a chance to win it. They just missed on the opportunities.
18 offensive rebounds, just an absolutely great number. 4 from Vanderbilt, 4 from Clarkson, 3 from Markkanen, and 5 from Kessler. A couple guys had one, but that's always a huge thing to look at with effort. And then to your point, fatigue. We have not seen the team shoot free throws this poorly or even come close. They've been a good free throw shooting team. Shoot 13 for 23 tonight, and then threes. It's a huge part of their weapon to be able to space teams out. 11 for 37, 29%. So that leads me to believe you're on there in terms of fatigue and long trip.
You mentioned the free throws. That's your Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with the Chick-fil-A One app. And yeah, that seems like one of those observations that the probably is a pretty obvious one, Coach. If you're missing your free throws, and the Jazz, I mean, 56.5% from the foul line tonight, 13 of 23, as you mentioned, is just got to be a sign that the legs aren't there. I mean, at least not like Lauri Markkanen, for example, 1 of 4 from the line, missed those two critical ones there in the fourth that could have kept the Jazz alive. Colin Sexton was 1 of 5. That's certainly not the norm for that guy.
No, it's one thing I look at all the time. We talk about the frequency of their free throws and how accurate they've been. So that's an outlier. And then just a point on the officiating. I've mentioned this before, but like there are a couple of plays, the Olenek, when he got clubbed kind of on that layup, looked like he got fouled, no call. The Markkanen charge block. Hey, I don't care. Just call one or the other. But you can't let all that collision happen in a game like this in the fourth quarter and not call it. And then that the way they overturned that, I'll never understand replay. I don't know why we necessarily have it because it's about 50-50 from what we see to what's actually called in Secaucus.
I love it that I'm bringing you around to my point of view
on
this.
Oh, I'm so there.
Just such a waste of time.
One of those officials actually refed in the WCC, and he was horrible there. So I don't know how he got his number called.
Promote that man.
Yeah, I guess it's the way of the world.
Well, I get frustrated with replay because it just wastes so much time. And they don't get it right 100%. Is that not even close? I mean, look, basically across all sports, you'd see it. You know, NFL football going, you see it all the time in the NFL where get the wrong call anyway and just waste all that time reviewing it. And, you know, frankly, it doesn't alleviate any fan frustration on either side.
There was a play in the Bills-Vikings game today, the monumental game. It's one of the best games I've seen ever. But there was a play, so they'll stop it, like somebody sneezes, right? We need to see if that was an illegal sneeze, right, with like 15 minutes left in the second quarter. They're going to run to that monitor. But there was like a play that determined the outcome of the game and no replay, and it ended up being the wrong call.
Yeah.
The Bills ended up going down and scoring, but that's my point is if we're going to use it, let's utilize it for what it can do. I think it's just bogging the game down.
I think so, too. And then rarely do you see the right outcome. We're talking about that play that could have gone off Markkanen or Harris in the fourth quarter. And the letter of the law is supposed to be you go with the call on the floor if there's no evidence to, you know, decide it one way or another. And frankly, that was as close as anything I've ever seen, you know. But then again, we're just here watching it too. You know, it's I'm fine with refs being imperfect. Let me complain about it and move on to the next play. You know, everybody's still wrapped up in justice and getting it right. Well, they rarely get it right anyway. And it just adds to the frustration, I think. But anyway, that aside, let's get to the coach. That's what folks want to hear from. Let's go back to Philly and hear from Jazz head coach Will Hardy.
Five steals. Tyrese Maxey had four steals.
For a variety of reasons.
We did not shoot the ball well. We did not execute very well on the offensive end. Obviously, you know, missing shots and missing free throws can happen in a game. The stat that bothers me the most is Philly had 14 block shots. That's a lot of poor spacing and poor decision making.
Nobody who really,
you know, credit to Philly. They played well. Embiid played a great game, took advantage of our lack of discipline, guarding the ball and fouling. And we still had a chance to win. It's been a frustrating night for our group, but it's something that we can definitely learn a lot from. We look forward to getting back home.
When you say it's been a frustrating night, what do you think? Where does the peak of that frustration come from?
Yeah, I thought this game was not representative of how we want to play. I thought we started the game great. We controlled the tempo. Our spacing was very good. Our execution was good, and as the game went on, that did not continue, and it put us in a tough spot against a good team and a very good player down the stretch.
What would you have liked to see differently against Embiid, especially down the stretch?
I would have liked to have seen us do a little bit better job on the ball, not getting beat with the first dribble. And then I think when you come to help, you have to keep your hands out. He's a master at drawing fouls. He does the sweep through very, very well. And when you play the fourth quarter of an NBA game in the bonus for the majority of it, defense is very hard, especially against a physical player like that.
You tried to double and then kind of went away from it a little bit, or at least were less quick on the double. What did you kind of notice about those situations in particular?
Yeah, I thought our communication and execution was very poor in those situations. We did a very a bad job communicating where the crowded side was so that the player on the ball knows where to send the ball. And credit to Embiid, he took advantage of it and played a great game. You know, and I think a lot of our poor defensive play or poor communication stemmed from the fact that our offense was not operating the way it should. And I felt like our team got frustrated and we were not able to carry over our focus to the defensive end very well. But, you know, it's a great learning moment for our team and a lot more games to go.
You mentioned the blocks and Embiid had seven of them. Was spending a lot of time in the paint, I guess, what would you like to see differently spacing-wise in order to get him out and maybe attack him in different situations?
Yeah, I thought we did a good job of spacing him at times during the game. And then I also just think that the timing of our decisions was a little bit off tonight. When a player like that stands in the paint for the majority of the game, you have to be on time and deliver the ball. I thought we had some opportunities to find guys on kickouts and put him in some tough spots. But, you know, he did a good job, and their guys on the ball did a very good job of, disrupting us. I mean, Thibault had 5 steals. Tyrese Maxey had 4 steals. Those guys did a very, very good job of being disruptive on the defensive end.
You've talked a lot about operating well in chaos, but can that nip you in the butt every once in a while?
Yeah, there's 82 games. I wish that we were able to be perfect through all 82. Tonight and the second night of a back-to-back in a tough environment here in Philly, I think, we had some moments where we could have really seized control of the game, and we didn't. And sometimes you miss a timely shot, and that's okay. We're always just focused on how we play, how we execute on offense and defense. And some nights the ball just doesn't go in, but I don't think that was the case tonight.
Is there a silver lining at all about how close it was despite what Embiid was doing on the other side?
Yeah, I mean, he had a great game, but, he took a lot of the shots. There's only one ball. So I think looking at the final score, 105, it wasn't our best night defensively, but I still think, we had a chance to win the game. The silver lining, I think, is that we're always in the game, and our team doesn't quit. And even if we're not playing our best, our guys continue to fight and continue to stick in there. And, that's what our team's all about, is that you may be able to beat us, but you're going to have to beat us. We're not going to just roll over and let you win the game. So I love our team's intensity. I love the way that we continue to find ways to stick in games. And tonight was a tough one.
We talked before the game about Tyrese Maxey a little bit. I know that Embiid did a lot tonight, but in the first half especially, Maxey was kind of getting where he wanted when he wanted. What would you have liked to have seen better on that?
Yeah, I think it's hard when a player like Embiid's screening. You're worried about Embiid a lot, and Maxey was able to get free. I thought we made him take tough shots. I thought we made him take some long floaters, a lot of pull-up, two-point jump shots. He got a couple good looks from three that he didn't knock down, but, that's why these guys in the NBA are so good, is it puts you in a lot of tough spots. We can always do a little bit better job closing the gap and pick and roll and getting into guys' bodies. But I think for the most part, we did a pretty good job making Tyrese take some hard shots tonight.
All right, there you go. Jazz head coach Will Hardy diagnosing this one as the Jazz fall to the Sixers, 105-98. Coach and I will talk about what Coach Hardy had to say right there coming up on the other side. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. More next. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Wow! The outcome is in the books. Now, let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz Postgame Show. Here's Jake Scott.
Jazz post-game, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Post-game brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share. MarkMillerSubaru.com. Your final score. Jazz fall tonight to the 76ers in Philly, 105-98. What a performance from Joel Embiid. 59 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 7 block shots. If he had one steal. If he had a couple more steals, we would have been talking Andre Kirilenko 5x5. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it is amazing. Joel Embiid, for a guy that size, is just such an incredibly well-rounded player. And the Jazz just had no answer. I mean, I don't know what teams do have an answer, especially when he's really focused and got it going like that. But, man, the Jazz did not.
No, he has such an inherent advantage because he does not have to set up in one particular spot. I mean, David mentioned that isolation in the middle of the floor is really hard to guard. You know, you saw the Jazz having to make decisions there toward the end. He's going so good that you have to actually run a second guy at him in the middle of the floor, which certainly is going to lead to scramble. But I thought overall they gave him good looks. He shot the ball extraordinarily well, and he did from the beginning. He was lights out. I thought his effort and energy was terrific. He plays, in my mind, maybe a handful of games, complete games like that a year. And I thought the Jazz ran into one tonight.
Yeah, and what are you going to do? I mean, Coach, you've probably been there on nights where you just – the other guy's got it going. You know, you coached Jimmer Fredette. I mean, how many nights did the other team just throw up their hands? Because you know what? Nothing you can do with Jimmer.
And as good as he was, tonight, I did feel like, you know, the Jazz had their chances. Turnovers again, really a big issue that I thought kind of got the game in a weird spot. You know, the Jazz started so well, and then turnovers kind of neutralized it, but then their offensive rebound kept them in the game. So a lot of film, a lot of things they can learn from, but most importantly, a day off, travel, get home, and actually have a day off and be able to play here in this building.
17 total turnovers tonight for the Jazz, which, what, they have 10 at half, so it got a little bit better there in the second half, but 17, probably a little high, and then Philadelphia only had 12. But, you know, 17 doesn't seem like the most egregious number we've seen this year as far as the turnovers go, but it seemed like the turnovers were silly.
They were
some
silly.
Some of them, you know, sometimes they get a lot of turnovers because they're being aggressive and trying to fit passes and things like that in there. There were some silly ones, that some weird passes. Vanderbilt had a behind-the-back pass there that just didn't go. I mean, just kind of some silly turnovers tonight.
And Hardy talked about spacing. You know, they came out and spaced the floor so well, the ball popped. But, you know, a lot of those turnovers you talked about, spacing was not great. So there'll be some good teaching moments there. This team has to be incredibly well-spaced, and then they share the ball. I think that's why they got stuck a little bit as they went and drove it. Maybe there were guys in a little bit too tight, caused some tough angles. But turnover certainly hurt them. I think that was a big shot in the arm for Philly outside of what Embiid did. And like I told you, Thybulle, five steals. That dude, between he and Maxi, 9 steals their guard line. They put a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, no kidding. Maxi had, this is just a funny box score for Philadelphia. Maxi had 18, so it took him 24 shots, though, to get to that 18 points. But then you look at the rest of the team, Coach. Harris had 8. Thybulle had 2. Your guy, Gorgeous George Niang, 5 off the bench. Daniel House, the former Jazz man, 1. Harrell had 4, Milton 2, and Milton with 2, Melton had 6. So 59 from Embiid, Maxey had 18, and the rest of the team, pretty much nothing from a scoring standpoint. I mean, pretty incredible. Think about it. Embiid had 59, Philadelphia as a whole had 105.
This is an extraordinary line. PJ Tucker, 30 minutes. No shots attempted from 3 or 2 or free throws. 1 defensive rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 turnover, 2 fouls. 30 minutes, though, not 1 attempted shot.
Might as well not even been there.
One rebound? Pretty wild, bro. I'm telling you, I think that Thibault actually could be the kind of maybe their four that could guard everything. And heck, if he's not going to need to shoot, what the heck?
I mean, honestly, you don't need anybody else if Embiid is going to score 59. But it did squander a very nice bench night for the Jazz with Beasley at 18, lead the team in scoring. Sexton had 15. But Walker Kessler had a couple. He had 9 rebounds in 12 minutes. 9 rebounds, 3 block shots in 12 minutes for Walker Kessler as he just continues to astound. Talen Horton-Tucker with 7. Rudy Gay with 3. But really, Sexton and Beasley were great coming in off the bench.
The bench really was the spark. The Jazz starters, not one of them, was in a plus. You know, we're not crazy about plus minus, you and I. But not one Jazz starter was in the plus category. Everybody that played off the bench actually was a plus tonight, except for Sexton, who was minus 3.
Let's take a look at your Master of the Glass. Jazz fans, Safe Light Auto Glass is proud to present this year's Master of the Glass Rebound Program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. We have a tie tonight for Master of the Glass with Lauri Markkanen and Jared Vanderbilt. They both had 10 rebounds apiece. And Walker Kessler, as we mentioned, had 9 coming in off the bench in 12 minutes. The Jazz total, let's see here, out-rebounded Philadelphia 50-39. And you were mentioning the offensive rebounds, 18-8.
Yeah, I'm going to tie break. Vanderbilt wins the tie break because he had less turnovers and one more offensive.
All right, there you go. Congratulations to Jared Vanderbilt, your Master of the Glass tonight. I want to remind you about the Jazz Most Valuable Educators program presented by Instructure, the makers of Canvas. Throughout the season, the Utah Jazz and Instructure will recognize 14 MVEs. Each one will receive a visit from Jazz Bear, a $1,000 grant, a personalized jersey, and tickets to see a Jazz game in a suite. Go to utahjazz.com/MVE to nominate your favorite educator. Today, coming up next, we'll get you some player sound from Philadelphia as the Jazz fall tonight to the Sixers, 105-98. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Running hook, blocked it!
The final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my!
Jazz postgame show, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you, as always, by our friends at Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share MarkMillerSubaru.com. Jazz fall tonight in Philly to the 76ers, 105-98. What'd you make of Lauri Markkanen's game tonight, Coach? 15 points, 10 boards, had 4 turnovers. He was 6 of 13 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, and then uncharacteristic 1 of 4 from the line, including a couple of crucial ones down the stretch that he wasn't able to get going. But he had to at least take some assignment trying to slow down Joel Embiid. And you know, Coach, he's somebody they've come to rely on both sides of the ball, really, but specifically offensively.
Yeah, he was quiet. I felt like fatigue may be a thing for him. Just 13 shots, excuse me, in 34 minutes, but 10 rebounds and 15 points. Probably need just a little bit more from Lowry. But I credit Philly. Their game plan, their physicality, their length probably bothered him quite a bit tonight, and it didn't. I mean, it's never easy for a big guy like that on a second night of a back-to-back. It's going to be a hard one.
Yeah, and it was tonight. Interesting, Philly coming off the second night of a back-to-back, too.
Yep.
Speaking of Lauri Markkanen, let's go back to Philadelphia and hear from the man himself.
And Joel Embiid tonight?
I think that, I mean, he does everything. He can shoot the three ball. I know he didn't shoot as many today, but he can definitely do that. But then he can put it on the floor, and he's big body that we try to be physical with him. And then, of course, when he gets those calls, he's capable of knocking all the free throws down as well. So just he can play overall basketball game and do everything. So really tough cover.
What was Will trying to tell you guys to do in the huddles in those fourth quarter, timeouts to try to slow him down a little bit?
Trying to force him to the crowd. Obviously, he does a great job facing up, and he sees where the double team is coming from. And I think we a couple times put our hands in, and he got when they were on the on the bonus, he got to free throw line too easily. A couple of dumb fouls, I think. And but obviously, it's credit to him. He does a really good job of making us adjust and bring everything we got, and then he makes the right read. So,
well, said maybe the thing he was most frustrated about tonight was that they had 14 blocks against you guys, and just kind of your spacing and overall offensive execution. What did you see on that end, and what do you want to improve on?
Yeah, that. Just gotta keep playing the way we've been playing and being successful at the moving the ball and having off the ball cuts and just play that way. I think we went to the ball movement wasn't the same as it's been for. Again, credit them; they played good defense. But then, yeah, it comes down to our spacing. When we did try the ball, it's having the outlets to kick out rather than having to throw up some difficult shot and that ends up getting blocked. So we got to work on our spacing, get that right, and just keep working from there.
Is that something that they caused the spacing issues, or was that something kind of you guys just weren't focused on enough?
Sure, a little bit of both. They were physical with us, and we knew that coming in, that they're going to do that. So I wasn't surprised, but just still, I think we were kind of out of our spots that we need to be when we're executing our stuff. And so, yeah, we definitely got to watch film of that and how to create the open looks that we've been getting just with the ball moving and slashing and executing the right way. So just got to keep doing that.
Just with how Embiid played, how all that offensive issues, was it a silver lining that you guys were that close at the end?
I mean, no moral victories, especially when a guy has a night like that. So we came here to win the game, and we didn't get the job done. So it's disappointing, but we're going to regroup, and we got a lot of basketball to being played. So we're going to go home and regroup and trying to protect home court.
All right, there's Lauri Markkanen. And Lauri tonight, as we mentioned, 15 points, 10 rebounds. You heard him talking about Joel Embiid there, 59 points for Joel, 11 boards, 8 assists. And yet the Jazz were still close in this one. But I liked Lowry's answer to the question where they said, you take something from being able to win this game even with a performance like that going on the other side. He said, no moral victories. They got to go out there and slow them down.
And they came to win, right? And didn't do it. So I'm with you. That was the best part of that interview to me.
I thought so, yeah.
That's the right answer. If you're going to keep score, then you might as well win. And, you know, he mentioned things they can do, spacing being paramount. You know, he made the point, driving it in there, if spacing isn't great, the defense is able to kind of suffocate both. And you end up shooting a bad shot. And I felt like the Jazz got into it that more tonight. Obviously, the block shots, that number would indicate as well.
Yeah, the Jazz were far from perfect. I mean, there were certainly things they could have done better. I don't know what other things they could have done with Joel Embiid, honestly. I mean, I saw some chatter online about playing Walker Kessler more, but I'm not so sure that's the answer. The winnable nature of this game was in the Jazz lack of execution, I thought.
Yeah, they did what they had to do. You know, got down to any game on the road, you want a chance to win in the last 5 minutes. The Jazz certainly had that. And, you know, to the point, spacing wasn't great, some decision-making, maybe some execution, not fouling. But all that stuff, that's the beauty of a season. You can implement it. And I know from his answer, speaking to Lowry, that, you know, losing games, and particularly when he said a guy has a night like that, you know, that does not sit well with a team that competes to win.
No, I wouldn't think so, no matter who it is over there. I just don't think that the Jazz match up well against somebody like Joel Embiid. Again, that sounds like such a stupid take coming out of my mouth, because who else on the planet is like Joel Embiid? Or what other team is equipped to guard Joel Embiid? But the Jazz in particular, I mean, we're so used to watching a team with Rudy Gobert. They just don't have a rim force like that. They don't have a big defender like that. And, you know, give Kelly Olynyk all the credit in the world. He's going out there and throwing his heart and soul at the guy. And Markkanen, too. They just aren't really physically equipped to battle a mismatch like that, especially when he's got it going.
No, and I think the way, you know, you hit it on the head, there's very few teams that have a great matchup with him. You know, that's why he's one of the best players in the league. But think about these things. You get him involved more in half court, where he has to be more, you know, assignment sound, which, you know, five-man makes a couple threes early, obviously going to get him a little bit more, having to be a little more mobile. So you put pressure on him that way. You do a better job of getting stops so you can run. You've got to run him. You've got to run him up and down the floor. And then I think the other piece of that is they learned tonight, you know, mixing up looks, running a guy at him. He's pretty good, you know, making all those reads. But they found him. They got his 100% tonight. I really do believe that's as good as I've seen him play. You know, a lot of maturity tonight by him.
Jazz fall tonight to the 76ers, 105-98. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own at MySubaruIs.com. Play the game. Wrap it up next. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Wow! The outcome is in the books. Let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show. Here's Jake Scott.
5 minutes to play. The Jazz this year are 6-2 in the clutch. Markkanen hands to Sexton. Guarded by Thybulle, thought to be one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. Sexton drives, attacks Embiid, and the young Bull takes it to the process again. Tied at 96, Colin Sexton.
There you go, the play of the game. Our guy David Locke on the call. It's brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection. LHMauto.com, driven by you. Jazz fall tonight, 105-98. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at MarkMillerSubaru.com. If there was a positive story tonight, it was the bench production. Heard a highlight from Colin Sexton right there. He and Beasley coming off the bench were both terrific tonight. And, Coach, you know, the bench is going to be a strength of this team. And, by the way, the bench is going to be a weakness for Philadelphia going forward. But the Jazz are going to win some games because they've got a bunch of good guys coming off the bench.
We've seen that already. You know, it's definitely been applicable. You know, again, tonight was a lot about Embiid. Jazz didn't have many answers. And again, I don't know many teams throughout the league, you know, that would have answers for 7-for-9 from long mid. I mean, he just really had it going. Jazz fouled him too many times. You know, he got a lot of points from the line. But he was dominant on both ends of the floor, the blocks, everything else. It was more about him, you know, than anything tonight, I think.
Well, we were talking about it in this, you know, people always freak out about comparisons because, oh, you're saying it's this guy. But Joel Embiid, I think tonight it felt like I was watching vintage Hakeem. I mean, he's bigger than Hakeem, and he's, you know, Hakeem was super physical. I don't want to say he's more physical than Hakeem, but I mean, just those moves and the jumpers, and it was so smooth, and it felt like it was going in every single time, and there's nothing you could do about it. It felt like watching the Dream back in the day.
There's no question. His footwork, you know, his Euro, the way that he kind of hesitates when he steps through to gain contact, and then just his dominant physical presence, all that combined. I mean, he really should be one of the best for a long time. And tonight just exerted his will on the game. The Jazz, I thought, fought like crazy. Just probably a few two mistakes here and there. You know, turnovers particularly that led straight to baskets. But, man, in stretches, the Jazz, again, looked really, really good and did some good things tonight.
All right, let's. If you're just joining us, quick review of the stats and the box score. Biggest thing that stands out to you, of course, is 59 points from Joel Embiid. An incredibly efficient 19 of 28 shooting. He was 20 of 24 at the line, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 7 block shots, and I believe 5 of those came in the fourth quarter when the game was on the line. I mean, he was just incredible. tonight, and certainly a pleasure to watch. Maxi poured in 18 on 8 of 24 shooting. Outside of that, Philly got 8 from Harris and not a whole lot from anybody else. 48% from the field is what Philly shot. Only 4 of 23 from 3, but this game was not about the 3 ball for the Sixers, certainly. For the Jazz, they shot 39% from the field, 11 of 37 from 3, a rough 13 of 23 from the line for the Jazz. They were led by Malik Beasley, who had 18 points. Colin Sexton also had 15 coming off the bench. Lauri Markkanen with 15. Kelly Olynyk had 14. Jordan Clarkson with 12. Mike Conley, another nice assist night. 8 assists tonight for Mike, but only 3 points on 1 of 7 shooting. Jared Vanderbilt had 9 points. He also had 10 rebounds and 3 assists. Just want to go over Walker Kessler's line because I love it. 12 minutes tonight for Walker. He was 1 of 5 shooting, only 2 points, but had 9 boards in those 12 minutes and 3 block shots. He is... Mike predicted All-Star a couple of games ago. Mike Smith did in our pregame. I don't know if I'm quite on board, but man, there's the makings of something right there, isn't there?
You can use that. You can use effort like that. You can use, guys that quote unquote, I always like they just have a way of finding the ball. No, it's, they work, and they are consistent. He's physical, and then he's just got good gifts.
He really does. Yeah, and it'll be fun to watch him grow and get better, because it feels like he has the room to get better, and he's a fun guy to watch play, that's for sure. All right, Coach Lacombe, let's get some final thoughts from you on this one before we look forward to the Knickerbockers on Tuesday.
Well, by my count, since the 1st, today's the 13th of November, since the 1st of the month, the Jazz have had about a night and a half in their own beds.
Wow. So,
If any of you have been on a long vacation, you know how nice it is to get home. I can't imagine, how tired these guys must be. So that is a huge factor in this game, as you look back on it. It's going to be nice for them to get home only to turn around and head out again. But it'll be, most importantly, they're through this crazy stretch and things, at least this week, we have Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. So certainly a lot of games have been wedged into a short amount of time. This will be a nice change for that. For
having a week with 3 games as opposed to 4.
I mean, it's been a grind.
And that makes a difference.
For sure.
Yeah.
That many days off in a row will be great.
Yep. That absolutely makes a difference. We want to say a big thanks to Locke and Boone. Great work from those two characters calling all the action tonight. Thanks to our broadcast assistants. Thanks to Jameel Hawkins for producing tonight, doing his normal terrific work. We appreciate him. Thanks to Mark Miller Subaru, the title sponsor of the post-game show and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own at My Subaru Is.com. Coach Lacombe, of course, thank you, sir. Enjoy your week.
Pleasure, man. It was awesome being with you. I will see you Tuesday.
Our next broadcast is Tuesday. The Knicks of New York are in town here at Vivint Arena. That game will tip off at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage begins at 6. You've been listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.